Hey, it's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. We've been described as unscripted, unqualified, and unapologetic. And that came from my mother. See if you agree. The Commercial Break is available Tuesday through Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball is back tonight. We got a sexy one out at Yankee Stadium. The second place Philadelphia Phillies, just a half game behind the Mets, are at Yankee Stadium, which is a rarity. Yankees-Phillies, the 09 World Series rematch. And the Mets are out in San Francisco, late-night game against the San Francisco Giants. Will Warren against Taijuan Walker tonight. Mets are going to have a test because they're facing Logan Webb, who's one of the better pitchers in all of baseball. Clay Holmes against Logan Webb. We will talk to Jack Curry in a few minutes. Update on what the Yankees will do next now that they've acquired Ryan McMahon. But this is a chance for our man, Connor, to become a star.
Wow.
Because usually when it's Cinco time, it's Sean Morash. Sometimes it's Tommy Lugauer. Today, it's the man who does such a brilliant job filling in when one of us takes vacation. Connor's Cinco.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki
and you're pressing,
on the Fan.
And you're doing the pressing the buttons while doing it. Which
doing
is
both fun. Things at once?
That means running the board, Evan.
That running the board, hitting the buttons.
Hitting the button.
Very important job. Cinco de Fivo brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. So we're getting close to football season. Obviously, I'm a Jets fan. So here are the top five reasons to be excited about the upcoming New York Jets season. A lot of things to be excited about here are the top five.
I like it.
Here we go!
Number five.
So number five is they play another game in London this year. So that means when they inevitably lose in heartbreaking fashion, it won't ruin your entire Sunday. It'll just ruin your morning. You know, maybe you might even sleep through it if you had a late night the night before, had a couple drinks, you'll wake up. The Jets already lost 40-0. You don't have to worry about it. You can go about the rest of your day. Go apple picking, pumpkin picking, whatever you want to do, it's your day. You're free.
Connor, that is solid. That's solid.
What's so brilliant about this is if Sean Morash said the exact same thing, I'd be cursing at him.
Yes.
Because he's a troll.
Right.
But you are a fellow Jet fan, and you say it with pain in your voice.
Right. He's a Jet fan who also gave up his season tickets.
I know. That's crazy.
Yeah, we had to give them up. It's too much pain. As Joe says, oh, the pain. It's just too much pain.
I guess.
Number four.
The number four reason to be excited about the upcoming Jets season is you don't have to worry about your quarterback running for political office. Always a big plus. This year, all we have to worry about is Justin Fields' toe. If he doesn't play, it's just because of his injured toe, his ring toe, whatever it may be.
Stop it.
We don't have to worry about him campaigning in Iowa. We don't have to worry about him being the vice president of the United States. So that's something to look forward to. We just have a quarterback who's going to play quarterback and be focused on that.
You know what I heard? No distractions from your QB.
That's right.
Despite your QB stating, we got too many distractions.
And some accountability, too, perhaps.
Right.
Number three.
Number three, you might see Joe Namath at a game. That's always fun. It's great to see Joe out at the stadium. It's not ideal that the franchise's biggest star continues to be somebody that played before the invention of color television. But it's always good to see Joe out there. You know, he's a great guy.
Yeah!
Number two.
Number two, maybe we'll have a sunny day at one of the home games this year. Normally, you go out to MetLife Stadium to watch the Jets. You have hurricane force winds, torrential rain, bombogenesis-like conditions. Maybe this year we get a little bit of sun instead of tornado warnings, shelter-in-place warnings. Maybe one sunny day. We can look forward to that, maybe. Could be a loss, but at least the sun will be out.
That's true. It's true.
Number one.
And the number one reason to be excited about the upcoming Jets season is it really just can't get much worse than it is now, right? They haven't gone to the playoffs since Ronald Reagan was in office, haven't won a Super Bowl since before World War II. It can't really get any worse. Even if they go 0-17, I feel like most Jets fans have mentally been there, done that in our heads, so it's really not that big of a deal. We'll be fine. As Tommy would say, no biggie. Whatever happens, happens. So there is your Cinco de Fivo.
It was all negative. All negative.
This is a legitimate Jet fan.
Yeah, there was not one
thing. This is not a troll. This is not a Giant fan troll.
No, that which is why I can't even get mad at you, but I mean,
if you're going to laugh, laugh with somebody who's in the same boat.
No, I know, but
Evan, I got so excited the last 2 years. I thought the Jets wouldn't win the Super Bowl either last year. I thought maybe they go to the playoffs, but after how disastrous it was, maybe the worst run in North American professional sports the last 2 years, I can't. How can you get even a little bit excited? The only thing is, I guess Aaron Glenn might be a little bit tougher.
But that's it.
But I just can't get, you know, I'm like, okay, that's fun. but how can I get too excited
for it? I'm not, and I haven't yet said we're making the playoffs. I haven't said that or winning a Super Bowl.
Good restraint.
Thank you very much for that restraint, but I do have faith that this coaching staff may actually know what they're doing. I do have faith in that. And so my optimism isn't that they're winning a championship or that Justin Fields is the franchise quarterback, but my optimism is, hey, maybe they could actually be a functional NFL franchise and maybe play games in December that matter.
That's a low bar.
It is a low bar, which is why I kind of look at Connor and say, you don't even think that could happen?
Well, I feel like the upside of this team is 7 or 8 wins, and that doesn't really get me too excited. They haven't gone to the playoffs since I was a sophomore in high school.
I can't
get excited about another first year rebuild.
No, I get you. I understand your pessimism, but I actually sit here right now on July 25th feeling good. We played a clip earlier. You could rewind on the Odyssey app to about 4 o'clock, where Elijah Vera Tucker talks about there's a lot of accountability, and he hasn't had that in the first few years of his career. And that almost made me feel like I'm going to be right, and most of us are going to be right, that there's going to be such a coaching upgrade from what we had over the last half a decade with Robert Saleh.
Right.
And that can make a big difference. So that's where my optimism comes from. But very good list. There is Connor Green, your Cinco de Favo, every day at 5 o'clock. Real quick, here's your Yankee lineup as they take on Taijuan Walker and the Phillies tonight. Grisham, Judge, Bellinger, Giancarlo DHing, Jazz Chisholm at second base. Paul Goldschmidt is at first base. Austin Wells behind the plate, Anthony Volpe at shortstop, and Oswald Peraza batting ninth and playing third base. They did acquire Ryan McMahon. I'm sure there are some Yankee fans saying, can he get here yet? Like, go on a really fast plane so you can get here? But hey, Met fans are going to deal with the same thing. Mike Puma just tweeted that the Mets don't expect Gregory Soto for tonight's game. They do expect him to be there on Saturday.
Right.
So that's the likeliest scenario with Ryan McMahon. You'll get him eventually. It just hasn't quite happened yet. Now, tonight the Yankees are on Apple TV, but the good news is there will be a post-game show right after the game on the YES Network. The other good news is that Saturday and Sunday, it is on the YES Network. You don't have to worry about Apple TV or Fox or anything like that. The coverage tomorrow will begin at 12 o'clock with the game at 1. Sunday's coverage is going to begin at 12:30 with the game at 1:30. And one of the guys you'll be seeing is the great Jack Curry. Does a fine job in studio. Jack, thank you very much for coming on. Evan Roberts, Tiki Barber, how you doing today, man?
Hey, Evan. Hey, Tiki. I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Good. Let's start with the move that they made. Was this the guy they wanted? I mean, you had mentioned recently that maybe they weren't that interested in Suarez. We had heard about Arenado. Was Ryan McMahon the guy that Cash really targeted to be the upgrade at third base?
So the vibe I was getting from the Yankees all week was that the third base market was interesting in this way. Suarez is the marquee name. We all know that. It's the home run power. It's bringing that power into the middle of your lineup. You talk about him from the defensive side, you're not getting what you want. The Yankees have a lot of pitchers on their staff who are ground ball pitchers. So in their quest to get a third baseman, as appealing as a guy like Suarez was offensively, defensively they didn't see it. And that's why those talks, from what I was told, never really gained any traction. You say defense. What about Ke'Bryan Hayes with the Pirates? He's got the lineage with his father having played here. You look at his offense, it has totally sagged. So I guess as I'm backing into an answer here, Evan, you look at McMahon, you get the defense and you get the promising offense. He's had 520 home run seasons in his career. And the other thing is the Yankees believe they can unlock some stuff with him. He's a lefty swinger. They think at Yankee Stadium his swing is going to play for this reason. He actually has a career-high fly ball pull percentage. What do you want at Yankee Stadium with a left-handed hitter?
Right.
You want a guy who can pull the ball. And so I think that they believed in the end this was their best bet. He's locked up for a couple of years. And quite honestly, they didn't have to give up one of their top prospects. They give up a couple of minor league pitchers who have put up some good numbers, but they didn't have to give up some of those top guys who they, I think, are going to end up hanging on to.
Yeah, the only thing that Evan told us earlier, is that his splay chart shows a lot of his home runs going to left center, which actually doesn't make him an ideal home run hitter at Yankee Stadium. That's neither here nor there. Maybe they correct it. Who knows? But was there concern about the down year that he's having offensively? He's hitting .217. The home runs are reasonable. 16 home runs already with 60 games to go. But still, was there any kind of concern about his offense declining and maybe not being who he was in those previous seasons?
So the left center thing you brought up, Tiki, is very interesting. I want to address that real quickly first. I do think the Yankees will get him into their hitting lab and sort of see what kind of swing mechanics and all that can potentially change and then make him a better fit for Yankee Stadium. But by the way, if he wants to hit a few doubles into left center, they'll take that.
Yeah.
In answer to the other part of your question, I will say this. He's better, way better than what they had. Their third baseman this year, it's been a black hole. So I think they look at McMahon and say, listen, here's a young guy who we know is going to give, well, young, I mean, he's 30 years old, but he'll give you the defense, and there's hope and there's promise on the offensive side. And you're right, the power numbers, 16 homers is pretty good, but there's been a lot of strikeouts. He's got almost 130 strikeouts. So I would never say, no, it's not a concern. Not a concern that the guy's only hitting 217. But from the Yankee people I spoke to today, they have optimism that Ryan McMahon will be a better offensive player with them than he's been so far this season.
Has there been any discussion around trying to upgrade even shortstop? Anthony Volpe has gone backwards defensively this year. His bat has been quiet for a month. Are they content with Volpe at shortstop, or has there been any talk of even trying to improve at that
position? It's an interesting question, Evan, and I was watching MLB Network. I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago. Joe Maddon, very respected former Major League manager, won a World Series with the Cubs. He was advocating for Volpe to be sent down, and he used Alvarez of the Mets as an example.
Yeah.
Kind of a timeout, let the kid catch his breath. What I would answer to that is Joe might be a little late on that because I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I think in the last three games or four games, Volpe's got three home runs. So if you're ever going to do something like what Joe Maddon said, it probably would have happened already. And as far as what you said, I think the Yankees believe in Volpe. We've seen how strongly Boone has defended him. I have seen a regression defensively, which has surprised me because I was always impressed from day one with Volpe's defense. He plays shortstop almost the way a goalie would be moving on the soccer field. His feet move fast. He gets to the ball. He doesn't have the strongest arm, but you don't really notice it because of his speed and aggressiveness. This year, guys, that hasn't been there. And when you're not even a 700 OPS guy and the defense is not coming along for the ride, that's why you're going to get all these questions, Evan, including the one you just asked. I think they're committed to Volpe.
Yeah, they're committed to him, but is there room to give him days off here or there just to collect himself? You know, see, there's some stretches where he seems unplayable sometimes, especially when you factor in how bad he was defensively over the last couple of weeks.
Tiki, I've mentioned that on our post game a bunch of times, that I get that he's 24 years old, but no one is indestructible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what has maybe prohibited them or stopped them from doing that is that Peraza has just been a real offensive disappointment this year.
Right.
Remember, it was only a couple years ago that Peraza and Volpe went head-to-head for this shortstop position, and I covered that spring training, and there were times in that spring training where I thought, wow, Peraza might win this. Peraza's pretty slick defensively. He's had a cup of coffee in the major leagues. Maybe he's the guy, and they give Volpe a little more seasoning. So had Peraza been a better option offensively, I think you would have seen Volpe get some more days off. It's an excellent question, though. I think it's something that could have helped. Guys, I know from talking to the likes of Paul O'Neill and John Flaherty and David Cone, these guys that I work with all the time, sometimes you just need a mental break.
Yeah.
Sometimes that mental break gears you up where I don't have to think about baseball today. I'm not playing today. I can work on some stuff in the cage. So I'm in agreement with you that I think that's something that could have happened along the way.
We're talking to Jack Curry, Yes Network. Post-game coverage tonight after the Yankee game. Regular games on Apple TV, both games Saturday and Sunday will be on Yes. Spencer Jones may not have room to play at the major league level right now, but does there come a point where he's tearing up AAA at such a crazy level that he almost forces the Yankees to figure something out to get him up here?
So it's interesting that you say that, Evan. I work with a guy named Connor Foley at the Yes Network, and he's our minor league guru. He used to cover Scranton as a newspaper writer, and now he works with us at Yes. He was tweeting about Spencer Jones yesterday, and sort of tongue-in-cheek, because I don't have the answer to your question. I said, Does Spencer force their hand? So I was thinking the same thing as you yesterday. excuse me, guys. Tiki knows this as an athlete. Make the team's decision hard.
Right.
Force them to make a decision on you. Keep playing the way that you're playing. And if I can sit here right now as a studio analyst and say, well, how do you fit him in? I mean, Grisham's here and Dominguez has to play. And obviously Judge is going to play. And I think Bellinger should play every day. Keep playing the way you're playing if you're Spencer Jones. And who knows? Maybe there is a way that Spencer Jones forces his way in. I don't frankly know how that happens. But as I said, keep doing what you're doing and have that kind of renaissance. I know he's really impressed the organization, guys, because he's been willing to make changes. He's been willing to make adjustments. There were things that weren't working. And if you look at his stance from even a year ago and look at the stance that he's employing now at AAA, he's more hunched over. He's more wide open. And he's when you open your stance, you're seeing the ball better. And that's what I see with Spencer Jones.
Yeah, no, it's been miraculous from 2024 to 2025 with both AA and AAA this year, only AA a year ago. But if he did come up, let's just say that he keeps knocking at that door, throws his big size, I'm sure it's like a 15 foot into the door and busts it open. Does that mean that Jason Dominguez might have to go down?
Well, if we were playing hypothetically, Dominguez would be the player who has options.
Yeah.
So, yes. Do I think that's going to happen today? No. I know Dominguez recently had an 0 for 18, but I like what Dominguez has given the Yankees this year. If you remind yourself that he's 22 years old, we had a number when they played the Futures game at the All-Star game. Now, remember, this Futures game is kids who are on their way to the major league. So they're AA, AAA kids. I think there were 50 kids in the Futures game. I think there were half of them were older than Jason Dominguez. A reminder that Dominguez is here. He's going to take some lumps. There's going to be some hurdles and some obstacles. He's already conquered one of them. He was a black hole as a right-handed batter for the first part of the season. Now when he has gotten a chance to get some right-handed at-bats, they've been representative at-bats. I think he's gotten better defensively in the outfield. Is he Grisham or Bellinger out there? No, not even close. But I think he's gotten better defensively, too.
Are Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez untouchable at the trade deadline?
I believe so. I'm not in those meetings with the Yankees. I don't know what kind of calls they're making. But I asked someone in the know not too long ago, I didn't include Dominguez, but I asked someone in the know about Schlittler and Jones. And the person said to me, they would have to be overwhelmed to trade one of those two players. Overwhelmed means you're getting a big piece. You're getting a marquee piece. I'm looking at a trade list of guys in front of me right now, and it's somebody who obviously you'd be getting some years of control with. Would you trade Spencer Jones for a Class A or a Duran from the Twins? I don't know that I would. I mean, there are other relievers. I think
Duran
there are other
and someone
ways
else, maybe.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
Your bullpen. Right. If you're telling me an everyday player, a guy that's going to contribute every day, but I don't know that there's one of those out there right now that I would part with Jones or Schlittler for. And guys, I got to tell you, I know that you've got to cover all sports on FAN. I don't know how much of Schlittler's two starts that you've seen, and granted, it's only 10 or 11 innings.
Right.
This kid looks legit to me.
Oh, he looks electric.
Triple digits, pounds the zone, and the poise. I'm sure as a former athlete, Tiki, and you too, Evan. No, I don't want to leave you out, but you notice the guy's poise on the field. And, man, he had a couple of moments in his first start where I've seen young pitchers kind of, man, I'm in trouble now. This kid was, give me the ball. I'm going to get you out.
Well, especially when he's facing Cal Riley, who was hitting, at that point, I think it hit 38 home runs. He just flew 100 past him, right, for his first strikeout. It was impressive. There's certain kids that you see, Jack, that you know they get it right away. I always say this about rookies in the NFL. I hate them because they don't know what it takes. But a guy like Jeremy Shock, you remember when he first came here? Like, he got it immediately. You just knew he was going to be a star, and I feel that way about Cam. Now, we've gotten one move here with the Yankees. Brian Cashman told us that he was going to town. I don't think he's quite there yet. But what should we expect going forward for the next 6 days until the trade deadline?
I knew you guys were going to ask me that, and I would have loved to. Well, actually, I would rather go on Yes and be able to say they're getting this guy. since I'm on WFX.
Hey there, it's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. Tune into our show and join me in making some regrettable decisions. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts.
And right now, I wish I could tell you guys.
Right.
I will say this: they are going to get pitching. And in talking to some people this week, I tried to narrow some guys down. And the response I kept getting was the Yankees are casting a very wide net. Mm. They realize their bullpen needs to be fortified, so they're looking everywhere. They're looking at every player. And the other thing, as we've talked about, the Schlittlers and the Spencer Joneses, and forget Lombard Jr., they're not trading him. They're trying to thread that needle of, can you get an upgrade in an arm while giving up something that you feel makes the deal equitable for you. Right. So I think that's the position that they're in right now, guys. But you mentioned it. I don't think Brian Cashman, as veteran a GM as he is, would have had that press conference and said all the things he said and then gotten to next Thursday and said, well, this is our team. There's going to be more moves to come.
What level of starting pitcher are we looking at? I mean, you've got a guy like Dylan Cease who may be out there. You've got more back end of the rotation arms. Like, what kind of level of starting pitcher do you think Brian's trying to bring in?
So if you are talking about a guy like Cease, and I know it's a rental, and I know Gallen's a rental, and Merrill Kelly is a rental. Last year, Baseball America reported that no top 100 prospects were traded for a rental. Mm. So if you could get one of those guys that I just mentioned, now, if you say to me you're trying to make a deal for Mitch Keller with the Pirates, who's got 3.5 years of control.
Yeah, it's different.
They're going to want your top. And they're legitimately in line to ask for a top guy. So, again, I think the net is cast pretty wide, Evan. But I just know that there are some players that in the Yankees' eyes are off limits in turn. And I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. The other day, I'm going to be honest myself. The other day on Yes, I said that the Yankees were not overly exuberant about the third base options. I knew Suarez was definitely off to the side. I knew that Hayes. Now, I did put McMahon on the third least liked. So I guess I had that sort of right. I said they love his defense. You got some control, but they're wondering about the offense. They solved the offensive issue. In terms of the starting pitching, it takes one text, one phone call where somebody might put something in front of your nose and you say, wow, they really got to go and get that.
Right. Would they view, like, if they could add a starter, and you mentioned that it wouldn't cost the top 100 prospect, especially if it's a free agent to be like a Merrill Kelly, would Cam Schlittler become appealing as maybe the bullpen addition by moving him to the bullpen with the electric stuff he has? Almost like that's the bullpen addition, acquiring a starter and moving him and making him be a weapon out of the bullpen?
Evan, you're talking like a GM. I love it.
That's right.
I had a conversation with someone today. And when I talked about starter versus reliever and heel coming back and what does heel's potential return mean, and the person I spoke with said, well, some guys will just move down. And you're right. Schlittler could be that guy. I don't know what they're going to do with Stroman. Stroman's a veteran, very savvy, very cagey. If you're asking me right now, who do I think gives them a better chance to win a game, Schlittler or Stroman? Kind of like what Schlittler has done. And I'm talking about when Heel comes back, someone's going to have to be sacrificed. But
right.
Evan, you bring up a great point. That stuff will play in the bullpen, and it also give the Yankees something they don't have enough of, multi-inning guys. I mean, they don't have that because Cruz is down. Weaver is really the only guy you'll trust for a couple of innings. Boy, to have Schlittler come in, say, cover the sixth, seventh, maybe even eighth inning and then go to a closer – that would be a weapon.
Even though he's young and we've been impressed by the two outings that he's been, when you look at his profile from a pitch standpoint, fastball, a little bit of sliders, it feels like a reliever. You know what I mean? It feels like someone who can get three outs or six outs if you need to, and him not being afraid of that moment is something that is exciting to think about. Now, in execution, we don't know. We've only seen him a couple of times.
You got the mentality, and I'm gonna do a little plug here. So whenever he pitches next, I forget if it's Tuesday or Wednesday, mm-hmm. make sure to watch our pregame, because you just talked about his arsenal, Tiki.
Yeah.
I got a little tip from somebody about something else that he's working on. So we're going to dig in on Schlittler's repertoire.
Oh, nice.
Something new.
That's called
that people
tease.
Might be seeing that he's been working
That's
on.
That's called a tease right there.
Well, yeah, there you go.
He's a TV that, veteran, Jacker. He knows what's going on.
I like
Saturday's
it.
Coverage begins at noon. Sunday's coverage begins at 12:30 on Yes Yankees over the weekend against the Phillies. The top-end relievers, you mentioned briefly Johan Duran, Emmanuel Clase. I have no idea if those guys are going to be traded, but I've mentioned this in regards to the Mets and the Yankees. Both teams have closers who are free agents at the end of the year. And I don't know what Devin Williams is going to get paid on the Mets side. Edwin Diaz has an opt-out. Luke Weaver's a free agent. Does that, if you're thinking long-term, if you're a Cashman, is there appeal to not just acquiring a guy who builds a super pen this year, but kind of protecting yourself from the unknown of free agency, considering both Devin Williams and Luke Weaver are going to the unknown of free agency?
I think when they're sitting in those meetings, Evan, I absolutely believe that you're right, that somebody brings that up, that somebody, if there might be someone in the room who's speaking against the deal and saying, well, how can we give up that player? And someone will say, well, you get closer X, not only for this year, but for the next 2.5 years. And you're right. That's protection against who knows what the future will bring. I absolutely believe that that's part of the dialogue. It has to be. Teams, not just the Yankees, teams would not be doing their jobs if they didn't have that as part of the dialogue.
Right. One of the other rumors or speculation that you heard a couple of days ago, I believe, maybe it was even yesterday, is that teams are calling about Ben Rice. And look, the error is notwithstanding from the other day. It is what it is. He's not a first baseman. He's a catcher and a DH. We know this. But what is the likelihood that he gets moved or he stays?
I saw that report. I think it was Joel Sherman who had
yes.
that report.
Yes.
And I know other people have talked about scouts who have been following the Yankees. And then after a long spell without catching, suddenly Ben Rice was getting a couple of shots to catch. And was that just giving teams a little idea of what he can bring? I will say this about Ben Rice. I think when you have a kid drafted where he was drafted, I think he was drafted in the 10th or 12th round, and he puts in the work that he puts in, and he comes in this year, and this guy is hitting the ball as hard.
Right.
I think he's in top 7 or top 8 in the American League in hard hit percentage and barrel percentage and his exit velocity. I would really have to... It would have to be something coming back that was very desirable for me to suddenly think that a 25-year-old, I think he's 25-year-old, Rice is expendable. Because, Tiki, you're right about the ball he booted the other night, but I'm not sure what Goldschmidt's future holds. He was a one-year signing.
Of course.
I always thought that if the Yankees want to stay young and affordable in certain positions, because you can't have a $30 million player at every position, I assume Rice is their first baseman next year. So.
Yeah. Makes sense.
I would have to really be impressed with an offer to include Ben Rice in it. I'm not surprised teams are calling about him, though.
It will be an interesting 6 days. Trade deadline on Thursday. Yankee game tonight's on Apple, but the postgame show on Yes, Saturday and Sunday, all on the Yes Network, and you'll get to see this guy, Jack Curry. Jack, we appreciate you coming on for a few minutes. Thank you, man.
Jack.
Hey, Evan. Hey, Tiki. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Thank you. Jack Curry, who to Yankee fans, that's the guy you want to hear. He is as clued in as anybody when it comes to what they're going to do at the trade deadline. And so far, one down, I think two to go.
Yeah.
They've added the third baseman in Ryan McMahon. I think they're going to add a starter. I think they're going to add a reliever. Who they are?
Well, it sounded like Jack's going to tell the Yes Network when he next time he's on, so be sure to watch that.
Yes. Well, when he breaks the news, he'll be ready to go.
Right.
We'll come back. We'll get back to your phone calls, 888-808-1019. We'll set you up for this weekend's action. Met fans better be rooting for the Yankees as they take on the Phillies, and the Mets are doing West Coast baseball out in San Francisco.
Doing damage.
We're live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Who's ready for a night of baseball? A late night of baseball. The Mets are out in California taking on the San Francisco Giants. And, of course, the Yankees are at Yankee Stadium taking on the Philadelphia Phillies. We brought this up the other day. It's an open and shut case. If you're a Met fan, it's easy. Let's go Yankees. Mets have a half-game lead over the Philadelphia Phillies for first place in the NL East, so you need to put business above your personal issues. The other thing is, right now, there are thousands of people online at Yankee Stadium. They're going into a baseball game tonight. They're going to get to see Yankees-Phillies. But why are they online right now at 5:40 with the game not starting?
What's the giveaway?
What is the giveaway?
Always a giveaway.
Tonight's giveaway, Anthony Volpe bobblehead. How many Yankee fans are waiting online to get their guy, to get their Volpe? I think he's sliding into second base bobblehead.
Head first slide.
I think so. Base. I think it's a head first slide. Let me go take a look at this bobblehead.
That's a pretty cool bobblehead. I don't know how the head moves, though. If you're sliding in head first, does it move even though it's... That's interesting to think about.
That's a great question.
Like, what moves? Is it his leg moving up and down?
Oh, his feet go up and down like this, like when you're sitting on your bed.
I got the answer. It's the helmet that's off of his body. So I'm going to show you the picture. Describe it to the audience. He's laying on the ground because he did a head first slide.
Oh, got it.
And the helmet is connected to the bobble.
Right.
And so the helmet that's supposed to be flying through the air is bobbling.
Right. So it's not a bobble head. It's a bobble helmet.
I like this.
It's been kind of cool.
It's a badass giveaway. The problem is Yankee fans right now don't like Anthony Volpe.
I know, but they'll keep this.
Now, with that said, that is not even the best giveaway of the next couple days.
What is?
Because Wednesday night at Yankee Stadium, they're giving the New York Yankees cowboy hat away. I love, just like I love the Met, what'd you call it? The bucket hat. I love the Met bucket hat. The Yankee cowboy hat is badass. So, yeah, pretty cool giveaway. And hopefully Yankee fans will be respectful. Okay, I know you're mad at Anthony Volpe right now. You don't love Anthony Volpe right now. Don't, like, ruin it. Because you know the legendary story about Patrick Ewing.
What did they do?
You aware about this?
This was the jersey? No, this was the...
Poster. This is the story they don't want to tell anybody. But back in the day, Knicks fans were so angry at Patrick Ewing and the Knicks that they were throwing and ripping his poster and throwing it on the floor. Ever hear that legend? On the floor at Madison Square Garden.
That's pretty damaging.
Exactly. It's disgusting.
Right. Disrespectful.
Very disrespectful. It's why I have a warm spot for Patrick Ewing, because Knicks fans never really appreciate
it. But it is just the poster. So as I think about this, posters were a big deal in like the 90s.
And this was 80s, late 80s 90s. When this happened, yes.
80s, 90s. It was a big deal. Then they evolved and they became fatheads.
Right.
And fatheads were kind of cool because at least they felt like they could last. How many people have a poster?
Anymore?
That lasted.
Yeah. Oh, no, they don't last.
Exactly.
Because they get ripped up. By the way, the exact date of this poster incident was March 18th, 1987. In the third quarter, fans began peppering the court with the life-size posters of Ewing that they received as a promotion on St. Patrick's Day. So they were showing their anger. I'm laughing because it's so absurd. Like, that's what we're doing? So hopefully Yankee fans don't do that at Volpe.
Those aren't Yankee fans. Hooligans.
Hooligans.
I remember that. So let's be classy with our Anthony Volpe bobblehead, which is already on eBay. I'm already seeing them on eBay for $50. So they do have some value. Ozzie and Woodridge would be the kind of guy to do something bad to the bobblehead. How are you, Ozzie?
It should be a bobble right arm, like a spaghetti arm, because that's pretty much what he has.
Oh, stop hating, Ozzy.
Here we go.
Yeah. Tiki, two things. If I'm lying, I'm dying. And remember, I have what the problem with him is, and as Evan likes, I have the solution that will be presented to Morash next week.
Nice.
So I'm not just a hater. I'm going to help.
Your solution giver.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
You're welcome. And speaking of Morash, is he that big of a roid rat, A-Rod, shill and fanboy? He's taking on a shift on the radio this Sunday, the last day of his staycation, forfeiting his Sunday evening. Is it because it's the roid rat's 50th birthday this Sunday, July 27th? And he wants the fanboy all over A-Rod?
That's right. Yeah, so I didn't know A-Rod was turning 50. I do know A-Rod's birthday because A-Rod shares a birthday with my dad. So I know it's my dad's birthday on Sunday. So I didn't know A-Rod's turning the big 5-0. How about that?
Yeah, Sean's
I think I did know he was my age. I didn't realize it was his birthday this Sunday.
And do you think Sean will spend his Sunday afternoon shift on WFAN just waxing poetic about the greatness of Alex Rodriguez?
forfeiting the last evening. That's usually like sacred, that last day and evening of your vacation.
Yeah, I'm curious why he did that. That's a weird one to do. He's on vacation and he's coming back early to do a Sunday show.
Well, maybe he's just ready to talk sports again.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah, he's trying to. Well, you ease your way back in as opposed to just jumping right in on Monday. You ease your way back in. Doing a show. How long is the show? Hour, 2 hours?
I don't know. It's like a four-hour show.
Well, that's a lot. That's more than an ease-in.
I'm telling you, I was looking at the weekend schedule, and I did notice that Sean was doing like a Sunday 5 o'clock show, which is great. I think it's great that he's on the air. I enjoy him. I enjoy when Logie does weekend shows. I'm just surprised because he's been off this week.
Right.
Now, he didn't go anywhere exotic, by the way, speaking of which.
But was he paying attention? That's what you're asking.
Oh, he was definitely paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was in Europe, and I mentioned when I got back on Monday 5 days ago, I made some lists. I need to get these lists out now because it's Friday. And if I bring it up next week, it's old news that I went to Europe. So here are the top four things from Europe I want brought to America. Are you ready?
Yeah. Number four.
The water bottle cap thing. Are you guys aware of this?
Very aware. So yeah, go ahead.
So right now I have a water bottle. If I take the cap off, it just comes off.
And you lose it.
And you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
In Europe, when it only part of it comes off, so it flips up like a little cap.
Oh, it's just the ring, it stays connected.
Correct. Now, at first when I noticed this, I didn't like it. I said, what the hell is wrong with this? Mm-hmm. And I ripped it off. Then I realized it's brilliance. I never lose a cap.
You also don't just throw it on the ground and cause pollution
now,
for a recyclable piece of whatever.
So you're right, and I'm sure the purpose of this has to do with the environment and recycling.
Of course, they end up in the rivers, and then they end up in some fish's throat, and that fish dies.
And listen, that's horrible. We all agree. But I also have to give you some bad news. People are very selfish. They actually don't care about that, or at least a lot of people don't. That's wrong. They should care about that. I'm not defending it. So you need to do stuff that makes it appealing, even for those that don't care, that the fish is choking on the cap.
Do you get soda?
Huh?
Do you get soda? Bottles of soda?
I don't drink soda, no.
Gatorade?
Don't drink Gatorade, no. I only drink bottles of water.
Something that comes in a pack that has like the rings things around it?
Not really, no.
You don't? Oh, never mind. You know what I'm talking about? All right.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. We cut those.
Ah.
We cut them.
You save the turtles.
You save the turtles.
That's very nice.
Exactly right.
I'm glad.
Most people don't cut them. They just throw them away.
Because people are selfish. You need to do things that are beneficial to not only the environment, but the people. Right. So the cap not fully coming off is not only great for the environment, fantastic. It's great for us who lose our caps. So good job by Europe on that. Want to hear another one?
Yep.
Number three.
Showers without doors. So when I went into my hotel in Aix, France, I go into the bathroom and there's just a shower head. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Where's the door?
He wants to see my penis.
There were no doors. And at first I was like, this is strange. And then it was so freeing. Like the water comes down, it hits the little square. There's no doors. You got room to move your arms around, do whatever.
He desperately wants to see my penis.
I love the showers without doors.
Yeah, especially when your wife's in there.
You're damn right. All right.
Number two.
This isn't something that needs to come here. It's something I appreciated about Europe. And that was, I never had any awkward interactions of people not knowing English. Everybody knew English. It was actually stunning. In France and Italy, it was universal. And so I had a conversation with this Italian guy. And I said, can I ask you a question? He was 25 years old. He was giving us a tour of Rome. And he was doing it on a golf cart.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, first of all, your English is amazing. Number two, why does everyone speak English? Like, it's easy for me. Thank you. But I'm more curious, like, what's going on? And he told me that in the school system in Italy, you got to learn English right away. And so I don't know if that's because of the United Kingdom being close by.
No,
I don't know if it's American. I don't know what it is.
I would guess, and I don't know this, but I would guess it's because instead of learning German, Dutch, whatever other language, French, Spanish, you just learn English, and everybody learns English.
Interesting. So it's like the universal language?
It becomes the universal language.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I appreciate it, because I tried to learn Italian and French, and I would try to speak Italian and French. It was so bad that everyone would then speak English to me. It was so bad that when I'd be like, buongiorno.
Parlez-vous?
The response would always be like, yeah, what can we do for you? In English.
Je m'appelle Evan Roberts.
Yeah, I tried that one.
Well, that's why Hulk Hogan fought for our right to only have to learn one language as American.
You're funny. And here it is, the number one. Dude, this is consistent as someone that drove through Spain and drove through France and drove through Italy. Every highway to a T has rest stops, full, awesome rest stops every 20 kilometers, which is basically like 15 miles.
Right.
Dude, we need that. Like, even the Jersey Turnpike, who has really nice rest stops, I like the Jersey Turnpike rest stops. They're not frequent enough. On these European highways, bro, every 20 miles, get out, go to the bathroom, full gas station, full food service, usually, like, a lot of food. Like, the rest areas were unbelievable. Mm. They destroy us in that.
Right.
Not even close. Now, let me cleanse myself. Here are four things I hate about Europe. Number one.
Four.
The license.
Number four.
The license plates. Embarrassing.
Why? What's wrong with the license
plates? I studied this. Again, drove through all these countries.
Funny. I've been there so many times, I don't even think about looking at them.
You know why? Because they're boring as bleep. So basically, every country in the European Union just has a letter, just a boring freaking letter to indicate the country. So in France, it's just an F. For Spain, it's an E. For España.
So it's F and a bunch of numbers?
And then just numbers. And it's the same colors. It's boring as hell. As someone who grew up playing the license plate game here in the good old-fashioned USA, ooh, Nevada! Ooh, Wisconsin! Oh, my God, it's North Dakota.
So what are they going to put? It's just the state. It's just the country.
How about you change the colors? How about you put a flag?
To what province you're in?
Well, our states do that.
Yeah, but it's a state.
So? It's boring as hell.
But you know this. I mean, our states were originally independent, like, countries.
These countries are independent countries. I'm not even talking about the provinces and the countries. I'm talking about the countries. Why should France and Spain basically have the same license plate? It's boring as hell. It's the EU's fault. That's why they got to leave it. Anyhow, I'll give you another one.
Number three.
England already did, didn't it?
England did. The Brexit.
Or the UK did.
The other thing is this kilometer thing we got to get rid of. I mean, I don't understand it. Like, let's just go to miles. Like, what's the point? Like, why are you...
Because it's the universal measurement metric.
Yeah, it should just be miles. Same thing with meters. What are we doing with meters? Just make it feet. So that's my really jingoistic American opinion.
That is very... That's bad. That's a bad one.
That's my worst one?
Yeah, that's the worst one.
Listen to the other two. Tell me what you think.
Number two.
Everything in Europe is small. Everything is so freaking tiny. The streets are tiny. The cars are tiny. The parking garages are tiny. You can only imagine what else is tiny.
That means we as Americans are in excess.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you, it's just what you're used to.
Bigger the better, baby. I'm driving through.
He wants to see my penis.
I'm going through a parking lot, and it's like you could barely fit the car. I had to do 12-point turns to get the car through the parking lot. And number one, this one.
Number one.
Smaller car, by the way.
Bro, this one killed me. I went into convenience stores all over that great continent. They had everything you could think of. Diet Cokes, Cokes, cupcakes, everything. You want to say goodbye to SNY?
Not yet.
Is that what we're doing
yet? No. They need to hear this.
Oh, okay.
It's number one, dude.
They sold everything there except for 5-Hour Energy. Why? You sell Red Bulls. You sell everything. Not 5-Hour Energy? I can find an Nestle's Crunch Bar, but I can't find a 5-Hour Energy? It boggled my mind how every product that we're used to was available except 5-Hour Energy. I even Googled it and said, what's up with that? And they're like, yeah, they don't sell it.
SNY, thank you for joining us as always. Goodbye. I'm sorry you had to sit there and listen to that just horrible, horrible finale of his list. Baseball Night in New York is coming up next, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealer.
What do you mean?
That was bad. Red Bull?
Yeah, no. 5-Hour Energy.
5-Hour Energy?
They sell Red
it's
Bull.
It's Red Bull.
No, Red Bull.
It's all the same.
Here's the problem with Red Bull. I liked Red Bull. It was okay.
Why don't
or
you
Monster
anymore?
Energy. It's a process to drink the whole thing to get the energy. What I just want a shot to get the energy.
Oh,
I got to drink a whole thing. I don't want to drink a whole thing.
Just get coffee.
I don't know. Coffee.
You could buy a pill bottle with caffeine pills. You could do that.
Right.
That's pretty easy.
Easier. Then you can just drink water. Never thought of that.
I'm sorry. I'm a 5-Hour Energy pig. I just want to take the shot, have some energy, and call it a day. I don't want your cappuccinos. I don't want your full drinks.
Espresso. Have an espresso. They're everywhere.
Yeah, they taste, they don't.
No, they don't. It's just a shot. It tastes better than, what, 5-Hour Energy?
Grape 5-Hour Energy?
okay, an espresso with, I don't know.
Hey there, it's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. Tune into our show and join me in making some regrettable decisions. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Coco.
Disagree. So did you like, you didn't like my list? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that was bad.
Okay. Well, I apologize. Yeah. If you didn't like it, guess what? We can easily move on and take a call. Like Kendrick and Suffering. What's up, Kendrick?
What up, Kendrick?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call. I usually say it's a tough act to follow, but hopefully this improves the show here.
Yeah, exactly, Kendrick. 100%. Sorry.
So speaking of lists, I got to bring this up really quickly, and then Tiki, I have a question for football.
Go ahead.
Evan, yesterday, obviously, as a guy who calls in frequently and mentions some WWE references, it was a tough day yesterday, but not bringing up The Undertaker as a conversation in the Mount Rushmore was somewhat criminal.
Well, he doesn't deserve to be anywhere near Mount Rushmore. I mean, I have great respect for Mark Calloway and The Undertaker's character, but he's not, I'm sorry, like, he's just not close. He's not close to Hogan. He's not close to Austin. He's just not. He's a wonderful character, but he's not on the Mount Rushmore. Come on.
I'll save it for the second paragraph of my Rico email because we're on the fan now, but I want to get to Tiki.
Go ahead, Kendrick.
Tiki, I want to thank you as a Jet fan because I don't think you recognize yet what you've just done for our franchise.
What did I do?
See, today, I was kind of like Evan going through sports references pages, and I like to connect dots. And Aaron Glenn has impressed me from before he got here. I wanted him over Vrabel, if you guys remember that.
Yep.
Because of who he's worked with. And it happened to dawn on me to go back and look at that 2000 Giants team that made it to the Super Bowl. Your offensive coordinator was Sean Payton.
Right.
And one of your tight ends, your boy, Dan Campbell. Two mentors, I would think, for Aaron Glenn. And when you look at the team that he's building, you know, you had Kerry Collins on that team, a quarterback that was kind of cast off to in Carolina. He had a short stint in New Orleans.
Right.
We have our Justin Fields. And here's the good parallel, Tiki. You were picked 36. Breece Hall was picked 36. And Ron Dayne is a Wisconsin Bruiser. So your team is building the foundation for what we're trying to be. And now, Tiki,
I don't even realize those parallels, man. Wow. What the hell?
So Tiki, as a running back, this is my question, my serious football question. You know, I think Breece Hall is going to be an effective pass catcher.
100%. Agreed.
And you were also in your career. And I saw in the stats that Ron Dayton, you kind of had like a 50-50 split that year.
Right.
But for me, looking at that, as a running back that can come out of the backfield, does that help you in the running game? Because now defenses don't know if you're going to go out for the pass.
Well,
and as a running back, are you normally like the first option or the second option coming out of the backfield with those plays?
Well, it would depend. So So Sean Payton in particular used to have a lot of scat protections, meaning I don't have a blocking responsibility. And so if you ever saw me just running immediately, ball snapped, and I'm running to the sideline, it's creating two things. It's forcing the linebacker or that coverage player, could be a corner, whoever, it's forcing that coverage player to declare whether or not he's covering me or he's sitting in that hole, in that curl area. And if he's sitting in that curl area, the ball's coming to me immediately. If he runs out to cover me, then that curl is now available for whoever's running the curl route. So could be a tight end, could be a wide receiver. And so it depends on what the specific pass protection coverage is. That's one. Two, the difference between, I think, what the Jets are likely to do and based on what, as compared to what me and Ron Dayne did, our offense was so different with me in the game than with Ron in the game because he couldn't run the wide receiver type routes or the running back out of the backfield option routes. He couldn't do those things. He didn't do the misdirections like I did. It was a lot of power running. So if I was in the game, it was one offense. If Ron was in the game, it was a different offense.
Could that be the same with Breece and Braylon Allen, though?
It could be, but it's got to be specifically designed to be that way.
Right.
I think, and I had this conversation with one of the reporters was asking about the duo in the Giants with Cam Scataboo and Tyrone Tracy. And I said, look, I think those guys are interchangeable. Like they could do the same stuff. It's not going to be like how it was with me and Ron because Ron's offense was different than my offense.
Right.
I think the Jets will probably be more their interchangeable parts. They can do those same things, even though I know Breece can do a lot more because he can play wide receiver. And unlike when I played with Ron, we were never on the field at the same time.
Right.
I think Breece and Braylon could be on the field at the same time a lot in this offense.
So did you like that 2000 Giants, 2025 Jets comp?
I did.
So does that mean we can go to the Super Bowl?
Of course. From 2 years.
Oh, 2 years. Okay. You know what? Sign me up.
Right.
I mean, geez, I'll take that. You tell me the 2027
season? Well, look, the NFL is built so that any team can kind of just make it. One season, you get lucky. You have the right QB coordinator mix, the right skill position, good offense. Like, you can just turn your season around.
It is, but it doesn't happen. Like, you're right that it's built that way, but yet the Chiefs dominate. The Eagles have sort of dominated.
Yeah, ultimately, at the end. But I'm talking about being a contender.
Oh, just being in it. Yeah.
The Commanders were 3-14.
Yeah.
And then they were in the championship.
No, the turnaround can happen. That gives us hope. That should give us all hope.
Right.
We will take a very quick break. Come back, take your calls, lead you right up to Yankee baseball. It's Yankees-Phillies night here on The Fan.
Hey there, it's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. Tune in to our show and join me in making some regrettable decisions. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts.